The topic that I'm going to give today is the unbroken covenant. The unbroken covenant. Now, what is a covenant? Covenant is a contract or an agreement between two parties. There is an obligation in the covenant. Meaning, what is an obligation? Obligation means when a covenant is made, one party has to be obedient to that covenant. Now, who makes the covenant? Covenant is made by the contracting party. That means covenant is made by the person who is going to give the law so the other person can obey. And so, the other person is to keep and obey the covenant. Now, what is the meaning of the covenant, the true meaning? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is berith, B-E-R-I-T-H. Berith. The root word is cut, you know, to cut. And later in the future, covenant between two people was experienced by sharing a meal or shaking your hands. I want to show you in the Old Testament how God made an awesome covenant with Abraham. But before I go over there, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Genesis 3:15. And in Genesis 3:15, the Lord said, this is after Adam and Eve, they sin against God. Here we see the dawning of the gospel, or the first light of the gospel. And the Lord said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise your heel. Here we see there are two offsprings coming. What is an offspring? Offspring means descendants coming. Descendants coming. And two offsprings. One offspring is going to come, and that offspring, that through the descendants of that offspring, we will see the Messiah coming, Jesus Christ. And the other offspring are all the unbelievers. That is Satan's offspring, descendants. And we see at the end, when Jesus came, he bruised the head of the serpent. But the serpent bruised his heel. Jesus was crucified. This is the dawning of the gospel. Now, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Starting from verse 2. Now the Lord appeared to Abraham, and God told Abraham, and this is what he said. And he said, verse 2, and I will, starting from verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing. Now, here I'm going to ask you a question. Did God preach the gospel to Abraham? Did God preach the gospel to Abraham? Well, some might say no, some might say yes. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Whenever you see gospel, there has to be, in the gospel, there has to be a deliverer, a Messiah, Christ. Because without Christ, there is no gospel. There is no good news. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Galatians 3 8. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." There you go. Where did you see that through Abraham the nations are going to be blessed? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. How did Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. And first I said, the dawning of the gospel, the light of the gospel was preached in Genesis 3:15. God enlarged that to Abraham and showed Abraham that through his seed, that God, the people in the other nations, families of the earth, are going to be blessed. And what is the blessing? That the Messiah is going to come. A deliverer is going to come to take the people's sins away who would trust in the Messiah. That's why Galatians 3:8 said that the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham. Remember, Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." Now, how God made an unbroken covenant with Abraham. How did he do that? Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, starting from verse 1. And it says here, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision." Now, if you are reading very carefully and very prayerfully, you will see the word of the Lord came. And this is the first time in the Bible that we see the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is stated here. That's the first time we see in the Bible that the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord was manifested, communicated to Abraham. Okay? The word of the Lord. Where do you see that word of the Lord? In the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Here we see this word is a mediator between God and man. Who is a mediator between God and man? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go on to Genesis again, verse 15. And God, let me give you a little background. Here, God gave a promise to Abraham, okay, that he is going to be blessed and descendants are going to come from him. And the families of the earth is going to be blessed. But Abraham is getting old. And he's childless. No child yet. And he's getting hopeless. He's kind of in a hopeless situation without a child. And how can another descendants will come if he dies and without a child? And God tells Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham." In his hopelessness condition, God tells him, "Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And here, God promises Abraham that, you know, of course, Abraham went on to tell God, "Oh Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And here is a Syrian servant. And Abraham said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir." for very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven, number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. So God told Abraham, he brought out outside and there is stars all over, count if you can. If Abraham started counting, and if he was still living, he'll be still counting. Then God said to him, verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said to God, O Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Now here is the promise in the covenant. In the covenant, there is a promise. The promise is that he is going to be blessed through the descendants, okay? That Christ is going to come, Messiah is going to come. And the other promise is, God promised Abraham a land, alright? Then Abraham asked, how do I know? Abraham is basically saying, I want a sign. I want to make sure that what you are saying is going to come through. Now, here is the covenant God is going to do. Alright? In the Old Testament, not in the very old ages, a covenant between, when a covenant was made, what they did was, they cut some animals into half. Alright? And the person who is going to keep the covenant is going to go in between the cut animals. And if that person disobeyed the covenant, what he's saying is that person will be cut just like the animal into half. Now, see what God is saying in verse 9. He said to Abraham, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these. Then God said, cut them in half, and laid each half over the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. When the birds of prey came down on the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now here, Abraham cut all these animals as God told him to do. Alright? So he put one side of the animals on one side and the other on the other side. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in good old age, and they shall come back here in 4 generations, for the iniquity of Amorite is not yet complete. Now see what happened. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. Here we see, when the sun went down, God himself came like a holy fire. And God himself came as a holy fire, and he passed in between the cut animals. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. What God is saying is, he himself came and passed like a holy fire and passed between the animals. What God is saying to Abraham is what? God is saying to Abraham that if he's going to break the covenant, God promised Abraham the land and that descendants will come. God himself is not going to break that covenant. If God breaks the covenant, God will be cut into half. But we know God cannot be cut. He is a holy God and he always keeps his covenant. And this is a sign that God gave to Abraham. Now, which is very important for us to understand this. This is the promise that God gave and the reward that God is going to give. Because in a covenant, there is a promise and there is a reward. Okay? The promise is he is going to keep his covenant with Abraham. And the reward is Abraham is going to get a land and also the Messiah is going to come. Now, we have to understand. As I said, this is how the covenants were made. Now turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 34. I'm going to show you this. Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah 34 verse 18. Here, and the men who transgressed my covenant and did not keep the terms of the covenant that they made before me, I will make them like the calf that they cut in two and pass between its parts. Here you go. Again. Here the people made a covenant with God, but they didn't keep it. Verse 19. The officials of Judah, the officials of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf, and I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their lives. Their dead bodies shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. Why? Because they broke the covenant. Now, Abraham asked for a sign, and God himself gave him a sign as like a flaming torch, like a holy fire. He passed through the animals. It is impossible for the holy Lord to break his covenant. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Starting from verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Now here again, as I said, Genesis is the beginnings. All the beginnings are here. Here we see for the first time, God is calling himself Almighty. Remember, Abraham is going to a foreign land. And when you go to a foreign land, he is passing through this land, and he doesn't, and what do you have? All strangers and enemies are surrounded. And God is telling Abraham, I'm God Almighty. The word Almighty appears for the first time in the Bible. The Hebrew word is Shaddai. When you say God Almighty, it means El Shaddai. And what is the meaning of El Shaddai? It means all sufficient, infinite in power. That means the power is without limit, all-powerful, all-sufficient God is called El Shaddai, God Almighty. When Abraham is passing through this land, he doesn't, the people are all strangers and enemies, but God is telling Abraham, I am God Almighty. I am all sufficient for you. You don't need anything, only me. And I am El Shaddai, all powerful, infinitely powerful God. Who else do you need? God is the omnipotent protector and the provider to Abraham. When he is in a foreign land, he was surrounded by strangers and enemies. What an encouragement to Abraham when God said, I am Lord Almighty El Shaddai. What did Abraham do when God said that? Abraham, verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and you. Here, God is again reminding Abraham the covenant. And you may multiply greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face. For Abraham fell on his face when God appeared. Today I hear a lot of evangelists and pastors saying, well, God appeared to me and told me this and that. I'll tell you, when a holy God appears, you will fall at your face. Abraham fell on his face. Why did he fall on his face? Because of fear and reverence to God. You know, Psalm 89 verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared. And God told Abraham, verse 5, no longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. God changed his name. The word Abraham means high father. The word Abraham means high father of multitudes. And also God changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. The word Sarai means my princess. Sarah means princess of multitudes. Now, let us see the fulfillment of this covenant. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew 1:1 in the New Testament. It says here, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. There you go. The Messiah came through the line of Abraham. He was going to be blessed. And all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. What a covenant that God made. He did not break the covenant. God himself went through the parts of the animals. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Luke chapter 1, 46. And we see how when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, and Mary was, then the angel told Mary that the Son of God is going to be born through her. And she couldn't believe it. Then once she got to know that it is going to happen and it's true, she was so excited. And verse 46, we see, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God and my Savior. She's singing a song here. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his holy name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And she goes on to see verse 55. Verse 55. And she says, starting from verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever. Where did she know that? Where did she get that? Genesis chapter 12, starting from verse 2 and 3. When God called Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you. And the nations are going to be blessed through you. And Mary remembered. How did Mary know this? Did Mary have a Bible? Those days, people didn't have a Bible. She had scrolls, maybe the scrolls, that's, you know, the Old Testament. And she read it. She was obedient to God. And also, see verse 55. When Zechariah, he cried out in prophecy. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesying, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And go to verse 23, and he says, verse 22, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. You see that? Just want to show you, all the way through the Bible, we see how God, he never broke that covenant. Even when the children of Israel, when they were sinning against God, God slain a lot of people who were disobedient. God killed them. God brought judgment upon them. But still, there was a remnant of people who obeyed God. And God never broke his promise. Always, there was a remnant of people who was obedient to God. And God never broke his promise. Remember, when you read the Old Testament, some of the saints in the Old Testament, when they prayed, God, remember your covenant. They reminded God of his covenant. They said, we have sinned against God. We have sinned against you. But remember the covenant that you swore to Abraham. Because God will never break that covenant. Now, God promised. What was the promise of the covenant? The land to Abraham. How much land did Abraham get? Anybody know? You know how much land he had? Only his burial plot. That's it. That's all. Abraham never occupied, in a sense, he never got the land of milk and honey for himself. Abraham was not looking for the earthly, worldly, fleshly blessings. But he was looking for spiritual blessings. Because God preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. Hebrews 11:8 says here, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Now that was a promise, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him for the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham was not looking for an earthly land. Abraham was looking for the heavenly land, where the city and the builder is God himself. How many people are looking for earthly things today, instead of spiritual things? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39 and 40. And all these things, though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was promised. No. God promised the covenant. God kept the covenant. but they did not see it with their own physical eyes. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They were looking for something better, heaven. The land, not the earthly land, but the heaven. But heaven. Now the key to this is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Because Abraham, he did not walk by his feelings or by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's the key. By faith he walked. He trusted in God's word. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 says, we look not at the things which we are seeing, but at the things which are not seen. The promises of God are not physical. Basically, it is spiritual. We will get physical blessings that God feeds us and gives us jobs, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is spiritual. It's looking beyond what we see, that is looking to eternal. Every time God visited Abraham, Abraham was blessed. How many times God has visited you? Don't tell me God hasn't visited you. Every time you open the Bible and read, God is visiting you. Because in the beginning is a word, and the word is God. His word is communicating to you. Just like how God's word came to Abraham and communicated to him. This is the word of God that is communicated to him. He's visiting you. And many people don't want to read the word of God. And that is so sad. Abraham, he puts his hopes in God. There is no hope for you outside of Christ. Absolutely no hope. And, you know, in the New Covenant, if you remember, we see Jesus, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, 28. Jesus said, Matthew 26, 28, Jesus said, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And here, there's a new covenant. And I said, in the later times, the covenant was made how? By partaking a meal. That is the Holy Communion. And Jesus said, this is my covenant. And his covenant is what? Which is to, this is my blood of the covenant. That means Jesus was sacrificed. In a covenant, there is a sacrifice. And we see that just like how God killed those animals and walked in between them, Jesus himself became the sacrifice. And if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that why this, the promise of this covenant is what? Forgiveness of sins. God is going to take away the sins that you have committed from the very beginning until even up to your death. God is going to take away the guilt. This is the new covenant. And there is the application as we see is, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Here, if you see verse 1 and all the way through, Apostle Paul is kind of going through the Old Testament, how they were baptized into Moses, into cloud and the sea, how the Old Testament saints, they drank the spiritual drink, okay, from the spiritual rock. He's talking about the Old Testament. So verse 6 says, now these things took place as examples for us. that we might not follow, we might not desire evil as they did. You know, the Old Testament is the application for us, that we will not do the same mistakes what they did. So it's so important for us to know that in the New Testament there is so much doctrine. In the Old Testament we see the character of God, who God is, His personality, and also so much applications. And here we see that Abraham put his hopes in God, not in the world, not in fleshly things. You know, so it's so important for us to know that Christ Jesus came and He became the sacrifice. And His covenant is, the New Testament covenant is, that the promise is that He is going to forgive our sins if we trusted Him. Our sins will be forgiven from east to the west, our sins will be forgiven. And He promised in a covenant. There is a promise, right? And what is the promise that Jesus gave? Our sins will be forgiven, and also we will have eternal life. That's the promise. In John chapter 6 verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast them out. What a promise. He will never cast you out. You know, just imagine, there are people who say they are good people. They say, well, I don't sin, I don't say bad things, I'm pretty good. But the Bible says there's no one good. All have fallen short of the glory of God, because everybody have sinned. Every man in his best condition is all vanity. The riches, the money, the wealth will make you very popular in this world. In the eyes of the world, if you are very rich and wealthy, you are very popular. And people will look up to you. But not in the eyes of the Lord. There are professed Christians. Some Christians are saying that they are Christians, but they are living like professed prostitutes. It's an abomination to God. One step in the church and the other step in the world. And that is spiritual prostitution. And many are obedient to sin. And they are slaves to sin. And many, they gossip. And they are alcoholics. They cannot be without a drink. And they are living in sexual immorality. They are gambling and in pornography. Idolatry, meaning anything you have between you and God. The Bible says the first number one thing is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you put anything in between that and you love something else, that is an idolatry. And some cannot wait without watching movies, Hollywood movies, and they become their idols. Or they have sports stars that they become their idols. And they are saying they are Christians, and this is spiritual prostitution, and they are going on their way to hell. In disobedience to God. So, turn your eyes and your thoughts from earthly vanities and bend your souls to the delights of Christ Jesus. Taste the sweetness of Christ, and then you will see the bitterness of the world. Christ Jesus is sweeter than all the things that the world can offer. He is sweeter than all the delicacies of the world. You know, if you are living in sin, the wrath of God is going to come. And wrath of God is going to come to those who live in obedience to sin and disobedience to God. But life is too short, and many are slaves to sin. And there's the lake of fire waiting for you. And people are making fun out of God. And God is not mocked. And you cannot play games with God. The Bible says to repent. The word repentance means to change your mind and change your will and change your behavior. That is godly repentance. When you truly repent, when you have a godly repentance, your soul will be deeply hurt because you have sinned against God, and your soul will be hurt. And you will come to God and say, God, and you will beat up your hands on your chest and say, God, I have sinned against you. Day and night, you will be convicted of your sins, and tears will fall and you will cry before God of your sins. That is godly repentance. Oh, my friends, brothers and sisters, lay all your sins at the feet of Jesus. Go to the fountain filled in Emmanuel's blood, and He will forgive your sins and forget your sins, and He will dump all your sins at the very bottom of the sea. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Abraham, starting from verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, not before God, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Abraham did not have to do things to please God. His works cannot take him to God. His good works cannot take him to heaven. But just believing in God, what God said. Now, if you truly believe what God said, then the result is your good works, good behavior, good conduct. And Paul goes on, then he goes on to say, verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin. This is a blessing. Remember the blessing that God gave Abraham. Abraham is going to be blessed because the Messiah is going to come through his descendants. Abraham is going to get blessed because he is going to get a land. But that land is the heavenly land, the land of milk and honey, not the earthly land. Oh, that is eternal life. That is the door to heaven. And remember, you and I, how Jesus came, and now Jesus, Old Testament is like the bud and the New Testament is the flower. Now, Jesus came and gave us a better picture. He has forgiven our sins when He Himself took the punishment that was deserved for us. And also His blood cleansed our sins, forgave our sins, removed that guilt. And now the sinner can fall at the feet of Jesus and trust in Jesus. Jesus has given His righteousness so we can go to heaven. That is eternal life. Jesus promised us that when he has to go away, why? He said, my father's, there are many mansions in my father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Is that something you see now? No. You don't see it. That is faith. That's how Abraham walked. We had to walk by faith alone. Nothing else. You know, don't go according to your feelings. You go according to your feelings, you're going to get hurt. That is how the unbelievers go. That's the difference between an unbeliever and a Christian. Unbeliever will go everything according to their feelings and according to what they see. But the Christian is different. We don't walk by feelings or by sight. We walk by faith. What is faith? Faith is what is already written in the Word of God. We don't see these things. Do you see heaven now? Do you see a mansion for you? Do you see God physically? Absolutely no. Remember, Jesus said, when he just ascended, before he ascended, blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet they believe in me. That is faith. How do we know that we have this faith? Because the Lord Jesus, because of him, he came, he fulfilled all the demands of the law, and he took the curse and the punishment on our behalf, and he was crucified, he was sacrificed for our sins, and he rose from the dead victoriously, and Christ is in the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again to take his believers back to heaven. That's where we belong. That is faith, trusting in God's word. You know, if you don't read your Bible, you won't have faith. All what you get is the rubbish from the world. Then you will live just like the unbelievers. But when you read the word of God, it purifies your soul. It cleanses your soul from all the rubbish and all the dirt that you're getting from the world. It purifies your soul. It refines you. Sometimes God will bring you through trials and difficulties. Abraham, all the saints in the Old Testament, they went through difficulties, trials, tribulations. That is good. Because when God brings us through trials and difficulties, we see that we are weak. We trust in God. And that's the time God will purify us through the fire. That's why we need to pray, fall down at his feet, and read the word of God, because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Remember, the Jews, they prayed 3 times every day. 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Daniel prayed 3 times, but Apostle Paul said to us, pray without ceasing. Because we are living in a wicked world, I'll tell you, as soon as you go out from the church, you will be tempted in all kinds of directions. That's why we need to walk on water. On the only way we can walk on water, if we focus, if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. If you take your eyes away from Jesus Christ, you will be drowned in this world. But focus on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ? Fall in love with the Word of God. And read the Word of God. Just like how a deer is going after the waters. And then you will be blessed spiritually. And when you may be poor, you may not have anything in this world. But this life is very short. But when you die, you'll be in heaven. No more pain. No more tears. You're walking on the streets of gold. Right now, you're walking on dirt road. You'll have mansions. You'll see the beauty of the King. And you'll be rejoicing, not for a short time, but for eternally. But if you're disobedient, you'll be in hell for eternally. Worship Christ. Get comfort from the bosom of Christ. Worship Him, adore Him, praise Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is eternal. Lord God Almighty, cause us to fall in love with your word, which is the eternal word of God. It's the treasures from heaven. It is manna that come. It is the manna from heaven for our souls. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would open the fountains of heaven and bless us spiritually and bathe us in your word, that we would feast at your word, that we will taste the honey, and that we would taste how sweet it is, and also we will taste how bitter it is for our flesh. We ask, Lord, all what you have taught us today, in the Old Testament, how you yourself made a covenant with Abraham. The example that you showed, how you cut the animals and separate the animals, and you yourself went in between the animals to show that you will never ever break that promise that you swore to Abraham. Lord, throughout the Old Testament, you kept your promise. Oh Lord, what a wonderful thing when the Lord Jesus came into this world. How He Himself carried forth that covenant and He was obedient to every part of the law. And He was obedient. He didn't even have a place to lay His head. But He left heaven. He left His home, heavenly home, and He was a pilgrim on this earth that is so wicked. But Christ became a servant. From Godhead, He became a servant. From very high, He came to the very low, where He didn't even have a place to lay His head. And He was tempted in every part, from all perspective. Satan tempted Him. And He was tempted in all points, but He did not fall into temptations. We praise God. And He was tempted when He was brought to Pilate. And when the enemies of Christ mocked Him, ridiculed Him, He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, Father, the God Almighty in flesh, if He wanted to, He could have brought one angel to wipe out all His enemies, but He didn't do that. Because of us, He saw there are descendants who is going to come after Him, who are believers who will come after Him. And Lord, that these believers, their sins will be forgiven and they will have eternal life. He kept the covenant all the way through. Until He was crucified and He was risen from the dead. And now, what a blessing we have. We have the whole Old Testament covenant and the New Testament covenant given to us by God. This is God's love letter for our souls. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that You would give us the grace of obedience. And thank You for the mercies that You have given us, because we deserve judgment. We deserve death long time ago. But Your mercies, Your long suffering, Your patience have kept us. So Father, all of us will fall at the feet of Jesus and